Hey, this is Pastor John Ryan Cantu from Pneuma Church in Houston, Texas. Thank you for listening to the message today. I hope that it blesses you and all those that you share it with. God bless you.
Welcome you. Welcome. Welcome to Pneuma Church this morning. Welcome to church this morning. Amen. Anybody excited to be in the house of God? And anybody? Amen. We've got a good week ahead of us, a good week of eating. Amen. And so we got to get filled up with the word first. Amen. I know we've got a lot of people out of town. Be praying for safe travels for everybody, as there a lot of them are already gone. A lot of them are sick. Our family has been like playing with sickness this whole week. And the past 2 years, we kind of had to miss out on some good Thanksgiving food because somebody was sick. And so let's pray that there's no sickness, especially Thursday, okay? Thursday is a very important day in America. Amen. But praise God you're here today. Before we get into the word, I want to just offer some praise to Pneuma's Closet. We had our first like relaunch of our Pneuma's Closet yesterday, and we were able to help out some families. You know, this is a tough time for many people, and we were able to provide some clothing and some suits and some shoes, and it was great, and some food, and praise God for that. Amen. Praise God for that. Praise God for a church that knows what it is to be the hands and feet of Jesus, right? We don't just preach about it. We do it. And today we have some people. I see some people that were came yesterday to receive some clothing, and that's what it's about. You know, we can give one day, but Jesus is the water that will never run dry. Amen. He's the bread of life. And so praise God. Praise God for that. Also, I want to just beat this so that you know our Serve conference is coming up on the 7th. If you haven't registered for that, again, you're probably tired of me saying it already. I've been saying it every week for the past 5 weeks. But the point of this is not a leaders conference. This is a church conference. This is for anybody who is in the body of Christ looking to serve their church, looking to serve their community. We want to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, as Paul says in Ephesians 4. So that's what that's about. And if you haven't registered, register. It's free. We're going to give you food, but we need you to register. Amen. I want you to turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. You don't have to stand yet because I'm gonna set this up a little bit. Deuteronomy chapter 8, and we're going to read from 7 to 18. 7 to 18. Deuteronomy is a farewell speech given by Moses to the children of Israel. They had just spent 40 years in the wilderness because of disobedience, because of a lack of faith. And so this new generation of Israel is now stepping into this land that their fathers were too afraid to conquer 40 years before this, even though God said it was theirs to conquer. And if you recall a sermon I gave several months ago, it was called Shema, out of Deuteronomy chapter 6. You'll remember that is where God gave the Israelites the greatest commandment ever, which is what? Anybody know? To hear, to love the Lord your God. Shema means hear, and the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and might. Not only you, he says, teach it to your children, so that generations of men and women of God's people would continue to love him, right? If you haven't heard that sermon, I would encourage you to go back and listen to it. I think it's incredibly foundational to our faith and to our relationship with God. This is not about religion. This is about love. This is about real, raw relationship with the Father, right? The Israelites knew religion. They were in captivity for 400 years in Egypt. They were masters at religion. They were great at constructing all of these false images of worship. Most of them, you know, they grew up in that pagan culture of Egyptian religion. But God, Yahweh, proved that all those gods do nothing, right? That he alone is the one true God, sovereign over all things. He took them out of Egypt. He took them out of the hand of Pharaoh. And if they would just continue to walk in his ways and be faithful and be obedient, God would lead them into the promised land. And so Deuteronomy 8 kind of takes a different shift from Deuteronomy 6, where the core theme isn't love, it's remembrance. If we look deeper, it's about gratitude. We're in a season of gratitude. I don't like to preach on, I don't like the season to force my sermons. Okay, I don't appreciate that. But because it's all what we're thinking about gratitude. I think God wants to take advantage of this moment to let us know how important it is for us to remain grateful for the things that he has given to us. And I realized something. It's easier to be grateful for things that you can compare. So like we tell our kids, you know, you live in a nice home. You have nice things. You eat good food. Some people have nowhere to sleep and nothing to eat, right? So we compare what we have against what other people don't have. Or we compare where we are now against where we used to be. So you used to be broke. You used to be in sin. You used to be addicted. You used to be sick, right? Now you're freed. Now you're delivered. Now you're in a better place. So because you remember where you used to be, you're grateful for where you are today. Amen? How many of us are grateful for where God has us today? Okay. So I submit to you that you have to remember to be grateful. You have to remember it. You have to remember to be grateful. Tell the person next to you, remember to be grateful. Gratitude is the greatest antidote to entitlement. When we're entitled, we expect things to be good because they've always been good, right? So we whine and we fuss and we complain to God when things aren't good, and we complain to him over every little thing that goes wrong, right? The Israelites complained to Moses because they had always had better food to eat when they were slaves in Egypt, right? So here, Moses, what he's doing, he's offering a warning to the people of Israel to not forget where they came from, to remember where they used to be, so that they would always stay humble and grateful for where they are now. So I just wanted to set that up so that we understand what's going on when we read this. Deuteronomy 8, 7 through 18. Go ahead and stand with me. It says, "For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land." Somebody say good land. "A land of brooks, of water, of fountains and spring flowing out in the valleys and hills. A land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates. A land of olive trees and honey. A land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you." Verse 11 says, "Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your hearts be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Beware," you still with me? "Beware," he says, "lest you say in your heart, 'My power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth.' You shall remember," say it, "remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, my God, for this word that you've spoken over your servant. Lord, I pray, Lord, as you have spoken it over me, my God, that you would speak it to your people this morning. Lord, I pray that we would hear, my God, with open hearts and open minds, open spirits to receive whatever it is that you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. The title of my sermon is Fail to Forget. Fail to Forget. I could have just called it Remember, but Fail to Forget sounded cooler. A couple weeks ago, I was eating with a few brothers. We had some lunch, and we had a conversation that kind of stuck with me. We were talking about how God has really brought revival to the men of this city, to the men of this house. Amen. This is a first year where we had a men's conference back to back. You know, one that we did, and another one that we hosted, and both times you had men full of. You had this house full of worshiping men, men who are taking a stand for their family, men who are holding fast to the word of God. They're holding fast to their families. They're staying faithful to the things of God. They're making sure that their household is one that serves the Lord. Amen. And praise God for that. Because we had always said, man, it's the women who hold down the churches. But I believe that today God is raising up the men of God. Amen. And he's bringing revival to the men of God. And I think much of the reason that that is because many of these men have seen things that they don't want their kids to see. Right? Like, you've been through some things that you don't want your families to ever have to go through. How many of us desire that for our children? That for our children, for generations to come, they would have a better life than we have. Amen? I don't want my kids to make the same mistakes that I made. I don't want them to have to go through the same lessons that I had to go through. I would rather them just hear it from me and understand. And so when we speak to our kids, many times we speak to them out of experience, right? And they hate it. At least my daughter do. My daughter Layla, she hears it, and you know Ellie's a little too little to really receive our lectures. But we're always pounding Layla with life lessons because we're trying to instill in her principles that right now might be annoying, but will hopefully one day be something that she just can't fail to forget because it's all we talked about. And so she's going to remember how we taught them how when you spend your budget money in the earliest parts of the month, that's it. You better go ask grandma for money because we ain't giving you any more till next month, right? They're going to remember that. They're going to remember how to manage their money because we're always talking about it. Always. And we're judging. We're judging our kids with what they spend their money on. Layla, she loves Canes. I hate Canes. Canes is the devil at this point in my life. I just, all they want. But they want Canes. I'm like, you're going to spend $10 on Canes right now. You're not going to have money for the rest of the month. And they're starting to learn these lessons because we're drilling it in them. Ellie's at the point where sometimes she wakes up on a Sunday and she's like, I don't want to go to church because she's tired. She wants to just skip to after church lunch, you know, to pastor's kids. But we have to tell her, Sundays we go to church. This is what we do. This is what we're always going to do, right? So they're going to grow up one day, and the hope is that everything that we instilled in them by raising them up in the ways of the Lord will not be forgotten by them. The hope is that the church will be so much a part of their lives because we didn't make it optional for them when they were kids. The hope is that they would see people the way that Jesus sees people because they watched their parents see people and love people the way that Jesus loved people. The hope is that they would stay away from the things of the world that might move them away from holiness because we spoke of it so often, right? What I'm trying to say is that as parents, we often want to protect our kids from the things that we've gone through and the things that we've seen. So what do? We shelter them from that life and do our best to raise them in a better place. We shelter them from the world, from certain relationships. No, you can't go to that person's house. No, she's not a good influence. No, he can't come over. He can't come over. Hell no. Sorry, my girl dad came out. No, he cannot come over. You better be married before he comes over. We do all we make sure that they stay away from certain types of cultural practices and movies that they shouldn't be watching and music they shouldn't be listening to. We make sure that they're protected and that the devil is kept out of the house. All of that is good. That's what we preach. Do it. We need to do it. Continue to do it. But the enemy is also so sneaky, and I want you to get this, because we can be doing everything right and we still miss some things. Thinking that because we're raising them in the church, everything is good. Thinking because we're surrounding them with godly people, everything is good. We can make their life better, we think, just by putting them in better and holier places. But this is something that Moses and all the wisdom that God gave him for Saul. That if this generation forgets the God who saved them, they will become entitled. And when you become entitled, you become prideful. And God hates pride. Listen, God revealed himself to us as our father for a reason. Fathers are needed. They need to be needed. Fathers are there to provide and to protect. Fathers are there to pick up their children when there's an enemy lurking. Fathers want to be loved. I love it. I love it when Ellie runs to me when I get home and she's running with her arms open wide saying, "Daddy," and she just comes into my arm. I love it. I love it. I love that four-year-old phase that she's in right now because she just needs me. She wants me. She wants me to play with her and cuddle with her. And she's whenever she's afraid, she runs to me. And I love that. But as they get a little bit older, then they start to get a little bit more independent. And they're too cool for you. Right? Like Layla's, every time I'm jamming music in the morning when I'm dropping her off to school, as soon as we get to the drop-off line, she's like, "Turn it down, turn it down, turn it down." This embarrasses you? This is good music, you know? And the older they become more independent. And Ellie's already there. She's trying to be a little bit more independent. She wants to do things herself. She doesn't need me anymore. So I'm there waiting for her 10 minutes to put her shoes on the right foot. And we do the same thing with God, with our Father. We go through moments of trial and need where we're on our knees every single day relying on the Lord for some type of miracle. We're saying, "God, save me from these stormy waters." But as soon as that storm is over, suddenly we can swim on our own. So Moses was speaking to a generation. You're still with me, right? Moses was speaking to a generation here in Deuteronomy 8 who was about to give birth to another generation who didn't know what it was like to live in the wilderness. They weren't going to know the struggle. Kids these days don't know the struggle of having to wait for things. Layla was, man, she was crying, throwing a fit because her Amazon order was delayed. I had to have one of my dad lectures with her. I said, "Be grateful that you could just sit on the couch and order something and they're going to deliver it to your doorstep." Back in my day. Back in my day, we had to go to the store. And we had to ask for things. And we had to interact with people. And if they didn't have it in stock, then we had to wait for them to order it. And it was just this whole nightmare, right? It could be, church, that your kids, men and women of God, I'm talking to men and women of God, will not know the spiritual struggles that you had to endure and fight your way through. And that not knowing can make us entitled. The text says, "The Lord is bringing you into a good land." There is a whole generation of people who will be born into this good land. The Bible says in Numbers that none of the men who saw the glory of God in Egypt and in the wilderness shall see the promised land. So what is he saying? He's saying that this new generation won't be able to say, "Well, back in my day, we were slaves in Egypt. Back in my day, we slept with the serpents and the scorpions in the desert. We had to eat bread for 40 years straight. Imagine life with no protein." I believe, church, I believe that we're raising a new generation of people who, thank God, will not be able to say, "I used to be addicted to drugs. I used to be homeless. I used to struggle with sexual sin. I used to have identity issues. I used to be a slave to sin." No, we are giving birth to a generation who will grow up in the good land. And praise God for that. That's a good thing. It's what the Israelites wanted. It's what we all want for our kids, to have a blessed life. That's why so many of you work so hard to make sure your kids are in church. That's why you pray so hard for your family. But notice what Numbers says. Notice, "No one who saw my glory will see the land of promise." Sometimes growing up in the blessings of God deprives you from seeing the glory of God. Because the glory of God is provision when there was nothing to eat. The glory of God is being in the hand of the enemy so that you can be delivered from the hand of the enemy. The glory of God is sight to the blind man, but you got to be blind first before you can have your sight restored. The blessings of God are incredible, but there comes very little need for the glory of God when you're already living in it. You hear what I'm saying? So many of our kids might not know what the glory of God is. Because when you see the glory of God, that's when you see miracles. And that's when you see Red Seas part. And that's when you see yourself going away from the enemy. But there's no enemy in back of me. Because mom and dad fought so hard for me to be raised up in church and be a church kid. And so some of us don't know what it's like to see the glory of God. Because we're blinded by it every single day. Praise be to God for the giants that your kids will not have to slay because God did it for you. Thank God for the mountains that won't even be in the path of your children because you had the faith to move it. You saw the glory of God that maybe your kids will never see because they were born in a good land. Am I making sense? My daughters were born in a good land, dedicated to the Lord, 3 months, raised in the church with parents who pray for them every night, parents who speak life into them every single day, parents who protect them and watch what they're watching on YouTube and see who they're texting, and we're very much involved, and it's probably annoying, but we gotta be annoying sometimes because there's an enemy out there who will slip in through every single crack. But now with godly parents who are every day on our knees covering them in the blood of Jesus, I have that confidence of knowing that they are growing up in that good land. I grew up in the good land. I didn't grow up crazy life. I don't have a crazy testimony. I grew up in church. I've been through, you know, normal life struggles, but I never played with the world. I went to a club 2 times in my life. Both times they dragged me. It was the devil. And I told you the story. The first time I went to the club, they had some crazy music that said, "Dance with the devil." I said, "Get me out of this place. I ain't dancing with the devil." And so how can those of us who have never played with the devil recognize the devil when he's coming after us? This is what Moses was trying to convey in his message to the people of Israel. It's not just about sheltering your kids. It's not just about keeping them innocent. You can't keep them innocent. They're going to grow up one day and they're going to hear some things and they're going to learn some things. What is it about? It's about remembering what God did, and being grateful for where He has you today. That's what it's about. This generation, this new generation, will not know Pharaoh. They will not know what life was like in the wilderness. They won't know what it was like to struggle. They will be surrounded by an abundance of resources and blessings and food and water. So Moses says, remember. Remember, you shall remember the whole way what your Lord, your God did. The people of Israel, you still with me? The people of Israel would recite the scriptures. That was how they learned the word. They knew it by heart. They didn't have Bibles like we do today. This was the way that God's people knew his word. They had to learn it. Imagine that. They had to actually learn it. Because it was passed down to them. Orally, through stories. It wasn't just a parent saying, "Hey, go, vete, Sunday school's over there." It wasn't just saying, "Hey, here, read your Bible." No, it was taught to them through stories and through mantras and through history and through poetry. What I said earlier is that they were very good at religion, but they weren't great with relationship. And so, you know, when I was talking to my brothers the other day, and he said something that's so true. He said that this generation of kids who are growing up in the church, a lot of them they're not going to know the struggles that their parents went through, right? And so that's potentially damaging, because if this generation grows up not knowing how to fight, not knowing how to be resilient, not knowing how to be faithful, that's dangerous. It might be good for them to learn a lesson or two, right? Because we know that the greatest teacher is life experiences. But at the same time, any good, loving Christian parent would never tell their kids to go spend the night in Egypt. So what do we do with this generation? What are we doing today? We are teaching our kids Bible stories and church etiquette. And no, you don't do that. And no, you don't wear that. And no, you got to be respectful. And no, you got to shake their hand. No, you have to say hermano if they're older than you. And we teach them how to be also good people. We teach them how to have healthy relationships. All of these are good things. And then we speak all of these great words to them to build them up. And we say, you are anointed and you are called and you are gifted. But if we never spend the time reminding them that they too were dead in the trespasses of sin, that they too were in need of saving, as cute as they are, they needed saving too. If we don't spend the time telling them that you are nothing without Christ and that you too were saved by grace, if they are deprived from feeling the grace of God that we felt when we were in the world and we came to God and He saved us, the danger is that they become entitled and proud and they miss out on the blessings that we fought so hard for them to live in. Am I making sense? Because there's nothing more beautiful to the Christian life than the grace of God. That's what pulls us in. And so if our kids, if the only thing that is pulling our kids in is the parents, is the hand saying, you're coming to church with me. But the grace of, they're not feeling the grace of God. Something's wrong. Jesus tells this parable about two men who went into the temple. And I think I spoke on this last year. But there's two men, a Pharisee and a tax collector. He says, the Pharisee standing by himself prayed like this. He said, God, I thank you that I am not like the other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. He says, I fast twice a week. I give my tithes. But the tax collector standing far off would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You see the difference there? The tax collector represents some of the most deceptive types of people who stole money from the poor, they committed extortion, all kinds of sin. If we grew up during this time, the last thing we would want for our kids was to grow up to be tax collectors because of what they represented. Instead, we would want them to be raised in the church, giving their tithes, not sinning, having knowledge of the word. But at the same time, we can't ignore the fact that this sinner was grateful for the mercy that he was receiving because he knew what it was like in sin. He knew the struggle of greed and temptation. He knew what it meant to hurt people through lies and deceit. Yet the holy and perfect God looked down upon him with eyes of grace, while the man that everybody thought was righteous became entitled. He didn't even ask for forgiveness in his prayer because he didn't think he needed it. One of the threats that face a generation that grows up in the church is that we would become entitled Christians. When you grow up around the blessings of God, you always expect the blessings of God. When you grow up around godly people, and I've met people like this, you grow up around godly people, and you get uncomfortable around ungodly people. You can't even stand to have a conversation. As soon as they say a curse word, you're like, I got to get out of here. You might not know how to pray because it was your parents who did all the praying for you. You might not know how to be faithful because it was your parents who endured the hard times. You didn't have to go through the wilderness like your parents did. You didn't have to depend on the manna from God like mama did. You didn't have to be a slave in captivity in Egypt like your father was. You grew up in the good land. So, what do we have to do? We have to remember to be grateful. Listen, this message is for everybody. Whether you grew up in the wilderness, whether you grew up in the good land, if you are a child of God today, if you are saved by grace, you're dead to your sin by the blood of Jesus, you are living in the good land. Give God praise for the place that He has you today. Be grateful for that. Be grateful for that. I'm not saying you're not going to have problems, okay? That's not the Christian life. I got problems. I got like 99 problems. But my salvation isn't one, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, I still got problems. We're going to have plenty. Scripture shows us there were plenty of problems in the promised land. You might have money issues. You might have health issues. You might have a laundry list of problems, but you are now walking with God. You are following Jesus. And so with every step that you take towards Jesus, that's a good step. So listen, as the Lord leads you to new blessings and new doors open for you, and He elevates you and He promotes you, never forget what He did for you. That's the message today. Do not forget where God has brought you. And when I say blessings, guys, look, I'm not, you know, we say blessings, we think Americanized blessings. We think, you know, nice things and a nice car and a nice house and a nice job. I'm not talking about that. Sometimes God will bless you with the material stuff, and thank God for that. But the blessings I'm talking about are the spiritual ones. As a children of God, we have been blessed by the Holy Spirit with gifts that I can take a spiritual punch and still get up in the morning saying, God is good, God is good. I can go through the worst situation and the depths of stormy waters and still feel the peace of God in my life. Those are the blessings that have come to us. I'm not living in fear. I'm not living in anxiety because I'm not a slave to those things anymore. I am free. I'm a new person. I've got joy in every single breath that I take. I'm living in the good land. We should never, ever think that we are too anointed or too holy or too smart or too wise to get down on our knees and say, thank you, God. Thank you for what you have done for my life. Worship team, I'm going to ask you to come. I want you to teach this to your kids, church. Teach them Psalm 78. You don't have to turn there, but I want to read it real quick. Just the first eight verses. Psalm 78 says, give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from old, things that we have heard and known, that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generations the glorious deeds of the Lord and His might and the wonders that He has done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers to teach their children, that the next generation might know them. The children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to your children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. And that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. Talk about this to your family, church. Tell them the stories of what God did for you. Tell them the stories of what God did for other people. Testify about Jesus in your homes to the point that your kids think you're crazy. To the point where they think mama's just too religious, but it's not even about religion. It's just about how much you love Jesus. And it's about how much you can't keep yourself from telling about what Jesus has done in your life, because you know where you were. You knew where you were headed. But because Jesus saved you, I can't help but talk about it. Don't be the people who only talk about Jesus on Sundays. Don't be the people who only raise a hallelujah when there's a worship song on. Don't be the people who only pray over their kids when they are deathly ill. Make it so that they cannot forget the greatness of God that we serve. King David's song of praise. I want you to stand with me. after bringing the ark of God into the tent of meeting, he calls Israel, the people of Israel, to remember and to praise God for the greatness of God. David wasn't there, you know, when his ancestors came out of the Red Sea. He wasn't there. He wasn't there in the wilderness. He wasn't there. David had humble beginnings, but he was brought into a good land. This was a man who sought God. This was a man who God had chosen, who God had anointed to be king. He had a kingly anointing over his life. And what we learn from the history of Israel time and time again is that these kings would be set up, but they would fall away from the things of the Lord because they were blessed. They had an abundance of things, and they knew, they had their religion, they knew that it was God who gave it to them, but because they became proud, they became entitled time and time again, were they given over to the hands of their enemies because they forgot the Lord their God. I am declaring over this house and your children and their children for generations to come that we will not forget the Lord our God, that we will serve Him and serve Him only, that we will get down on our knees and pray to the Holy God and recognize everything that He has done. And so He says, give thanks to the Lord and proclaim His greatness. Let the whole world know what He has done. Sing to Him. Church, sing to Him when you don't know how to sing. Let your kids hear you sing in the shower. Let them make fun of you. Sing to Him praises. There was a time, I got to tell a story. There was a time, I wasn't there, but my sisters tell me the story. It's hilarious. You know, they're just having fun. My mom and my two sisters are always just really just goofing around. And so they're having fun at the house. And they're playing karaoke. They do this karaoke thing. They put, you know, karaoke songs on YouTube. And so Alexa goes, and you know Alexa, she's got, you know, pipes and she can sing. And she sings her song. And then Ashley, she can't sing, but it's funny. It's funny. You know, it's fun. It's karaoke. And then my mom puts on a song. She's like, oh, I want to sing Alabaster Jar. Alabaster Box. And she starts singing it. Hey, we're just having fun here. And then she starts to break down in worship, and she's crying, and my sisters are laughing at her because, hey, we're just trying to have fun here. We're not trying to be intimate right now with the Lord. Let's just have some fun. But it's that type of love that your children should see, to the point where they even think it's silly. They're not going to be able to get it out of their mind. They're going to grow up knowing that mom and dad was a person of the Lord. That they sang when they couldn't sing. They prayed when there wasn't even anything to pray for. They just sought God diligently day and night. I can't help but remember what my God did for me because of the paved way that they had. Call to remembrance in your home. Sing to Him His praises. Tell everyone about the wonderful deeds. Exalt His holy name. Rejoice, you who worship the Lord. Search for the Lord and for His strength. Continually seek Him. Remember, He says, remember the wonders He has performed, His miracles, and the rulings He has given you, children of His servant Israel. He is the Lord our God. His justice is seen through the land. Remember. Remember His covenant forever, the commitment He made to 1,000 generations. Church, remember the Lord your God. Remember to be grateful. Right there where you're at, I want you to pray with me. Heavenly Father, I thank You, my God, for what You have done for us, Jesus. I thank You for being a good God. I thank You for saving us, Lord. I thank You for delivering us, my God, from the hand of the enemy, my God. And for those of us, Lord, who never even knew that life, I thank You for this life that we have. I thank You for the good land that we have been brought into through the faithfulness of our parents and the generations that came before us. I thank You, my God. And I pray, Lord, that we would always remain grateful for every good work that you have done in our life. I pray, my God, that we would never depart your way because we have forgotten about your grace, that we have forgotten about your mercy, Lord. I pray that you would keep us humble in your presence, Jesus. In Jesus' name, I want to do something this morning. Two things. If you are in need of prayer, can I have my prayer team come? Because we want to pray with you. We want to pray with you. But if there is nothing specifically that you need prayer for, I just want you right there where you're at, I want you just to take a moment to be grateful. Speak Jesus over your life so that you know you've got to be grateful. And I don't know what that looks like for you. I don't know what you're grateful for this morning. I can't tell you what to be grateful for, but I want you to have a personal, intimate moment with God of gratitude. My wife said it earlier, intentional gratitude. So as you raise up your voice and as you worship and you sing praises to your King, let your praises of gratitude fill his ear this morning. As a worship team sings something, and if you're in need of prayer, we want to pray with you. We want to pray with you. That's you this morning.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like some more information on Pneuma Church, visit us on our website at mynumachurch.org. If you enjoyed the podcast, you can subscribe or share it with your friends on social media and tag us at mynumachurch. Thanks again, and God bless.